within a car and eat. Cause the things you say and do tell me your brain cells are a few, and that is why I hate you.
What's up, everybody?
Hello, hello!
A little too loud for you?
And that is why I hate you.
It's a mask my daughter made. Cool, isn't it? Isn't it cool looking?
It's very, not Reichenbest, but those old black and white
Franken
tunes.
Franken. Oh, just, yeah, you were.
But,
oh, yeah.
Hey, Bongo! You know that kind of.
I think
of,
that's what she was going
the for. The Cuphead style.
For some reason, she decided to do
Merry Melodies.
Yeah.
Merry Melodies.
She decided to do half a mask instead of a full
mask. I personally think it's pretty cool and should be in the background of some indie horror movie.
I agree. I think it's dope. I told her I wanted to hang it on the wall. You can't see it if you're not watching this, but it's a. Joaquin described it well.
I mean,
so what's up, buddy?
A lot of ums and uhs. Headache day. Been playing Cyberpunk 2077 again.
That's right.
Since that Phantom Liberty. Yeah, it's playing it the second time is really cool. I beat the game when I I played it for 360, so I already went through the worst of it. And like when it came out on the 360.
Right.
And so I decided, oh yeah, I'll play again. You know, it's updated a lot and I'm just gonna like load my new character. Nope. Fuck my character up. I did not know how to play the game. Everything was just so weird, so I just started from the beginning, and I'm actually having a really good time with it.
I'm going to do the same thing that you're doing when I get back to Cyberpunk, because like we discussed, I had bought it for Stadia, now completely defunct, so even my save game, I believe, is gone. They had an option to export it and like use it in another platform, and I think you even had the option to get the game on another platform,
yeah.
And I just didn't do it. Because I didn't think I'd ever play it again, and then I realized Phantom Liberty came out.
Yeah.
I'm playing through The Last of Us 2 again right now, and I think when I originally played it, it was 2020 when it came out. I believe it was 2020.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm having a more visceral reaction to the plot of the game with the relationship between Joel and Ellie and father and daughter, because I'm just completely... projecting my own relationship with my daughter on top of it, and like every part of this game is making me cry now. It's so pathetic, it's so bad. Like I'm at the part, minor spoilers, I'm at the part where Joel takes Ellie to the museum. Did you play it?
I did not. I played the beginning, so I know everybody in the world's played it, but spoilers anyway.
Yeah, very minor spoilers. There's a part where Joel takes Ellie to...
I played the beginning part where he lost his original daughter.
Okay, that's the first
game. And, you're talking about... You said The Last of Us 2?
Yeah, 2, I'm playing, yep.
Oh, okay, okay, so I have not played 2.
You haven't played any of 1 or 2, really, then? Jesus, dude, you have this fucking epic in front of you that you haven't partaked in yet?
There's a thing, I do this thing, and I don't know what it is, but when everybody tells me to play something or watch a movie, I can't bring myself to
do it.
It's not even just being defiant, like, everyone likes it. No, it's just something, I just, like, my interest in it just plummets. And then I just, like, even if I do start it, I liked it, but I just was suffering through it.
You're just
like, I have
contrarian.
To want to watch it.
I
literally said that's not what I am.
No, you are. Sorry.
I don't know what it is. Because Aqua Teen Hunger Force, my friends were trying to get me to watch that for so long, and I just couldn't bring myself to do it.
One of the best shows ever.
Until it is. And I woke up in the middle of the night with it playing, and my favorite episode was on, and, well, it became my favorite episode. And I was like, holy shit, I love this fucking show.
Yeah, you just totally missed out on
one of
the best shows ever.
I have a hard time. I didn't really miss out, but yeah, sure.
Well,
it's not like it went anywhere.
You missed out at the time, you asshole. But yeah, there's this one part of the game where Joel brings Ellie to a museum, obviously a defunct and decrepit museum for her birthday. And there's just this one moment that's just like where they get into a space capsule together. And Ellie's just like so overwhelmed with how awesome it is. And Joel's just so, you could tell he's just so happy
he was able to
give her this
experience.
And I was just like, I want that. I hope my daughter loves me like that. It's just hit me in a whole different way, this game. Not to mention the huge spoilers for the game, you know, with, I won't even go into it, but if you know the game, you know what I'm talking about. But you know what I discovered last night while I was sitting in Taekwondo by myself, miserably bored? I didn't realize there were two Castlevania games for the DS.
Yeah.
Never played them before.
So a lot of handheld Castlevania games.
Well, I still have my Game Boy Advance, and I have all three of the Game Boy Advance Castlevania cartridges for it still. Mm. But they made a sequel to Aria of Sorrow called Dawn of Sorrow for the DS.
Dawn of Sorrow, yeah.
I didn't know it existed. So I downloaded the ROMs last night, and I'm very, very excited to play those.
Soma fucking Cruise? Well, I think that was the Soma fucking Cruise game.
Yes.
I like calling it Soma fucking Cruise. Yeah, really love Soma Cruise as a character.
I
like his whole deal.
I didn't really play it last night. I just started it to make sure the ROM was running properly and everything. Yes, it was Soma Cruise. And I'm so excited to play those too, because the handheld Game Boy Advance Castlevanias were like my favorite. I fucking loved those games. I'm going to play those too again, because I have all three cartridges with my 20-year-old Game Boy Advance that I somehow still have in working condition, which that in and of itself last night I was thinking about was like, this is a miracle that I still have this thing and it works.
Well, make sure you play them in order, because the stories are like directly connected.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I was going to do. I was going to start, I think, Circle. I don't remember the names. There's Harmony
of
Dissonance.
Just look online. Which one is?
Circle of the Moon. Circle of the Moon is first.
Circle of the Moon was the one I played a lot, like on road trips, because I couldn't beat it. And it's so fucking hard when I was a kid.
It's still hard. But it's still a hard game.
I haven't played it as an adult, so I don't know if my adult brain is any different.
Yeah, I'm going to play it on
Maybe
the...
Maybe I'll just go, I suck at it.
I'm going to play... Well, that may be an issue if I run it, because it's the opposite for me. I was probably better 20 years ago than I am now, and more, or at least more willing to put up with garbage bullshit.
Absolutely.
But I'm going to play them on my Game Boy Advance. I'm not going to play ROMs. I'm going to play them on the actual system they were designed for to like really get my full level of enjoyment. I showed my daughter with the little LCD screen. With the quote unquote color,
you have to have a light, like either a book light or something, because once it gets dark, that's it.
I have the backlit one. I have the foldable one.
Of course, you did.
It's one of my wife's favorite stories. When the foldable backlit one came out, I didn't have the money to buy it, but I had the handheld, like regular,
the battery eater,
the like I forget what shape you want to call it, but. The Game Boy Advance that was like Game Gear shaped, you know, that format.
I know exactly what you're, yep.
And I brought it
the
in.
The purplish blue.
And in retrospect, my boss was, I think, just doing me a favor. But he was like, well, I'll buy your old one for you, because I'm going to give it to somebody. And I think he was just trying to do me a favor, because he knew I didn't have the money for the new one and I wanted it so bad. So he was like, I'll just give money for the old one and help him. And I brought it in and I had it in the box and I was like, yeah. I keep this in pristine condition, and as I said it, I just dropped it on the floor. It's one of her favorite stories about,
of course,
my legendary stupidity and accident prone behavior. But I'm really looking forward to playing through those again, because they're so good. They're just such good games. I'm trying to decide if I need to go back and play Symphony of the Night 2.
Speaking of like tolerance for like games.
What are you doing?
That game notoriously has really terrible balance. I'm trying to adjust my jacket because it's pulling on the hairs of my body.
It looks like you're putting deodorant on.
It's bothering me.
I hate when that happens. I hate when I get a zipper caught in my beard hair.
No, it's pulling. Since, you know, having curly hair, you know, obviously not on my head, but on my body, the hair likes to intertwine into the weave of my clothing sometimes.
Okay.
And it just threads and then pulls. It's like I have a little Indian lady threading my body hair at every given moment. So it's kind of a pain. But anyway, oh, sorry, you going to say something?
No, go ahead.
No, dead air. Speaking of tolerance for like old games when you're younger, there is a game that my sister and I talk about because it is a staple of our relationship, as well as showed how much tolerance I did have. There was a game that came out. It was one of Squeenix's first, like, forays into like third person fighting, not fighting, third person games. It was called Drakengard.
Okay.
Drakengard, I'm not going to explain the story or anything like that. It's just the most depressing ass, like, anime ass game in the world. It's just fucking sad. You get a dragon, every ending is fucking bad. The best ending is the one where you kill your partner. That is the best ending in the game. You kill the person you're working with the entire game.
That sounds like a fun game.
And it gets progressively weirder and more depressing with every ending. There's like 8 endings. The game is really, it's phenomenal, but it's so fucking, like the music was, it repeats itself. So the music will go for like 10 minutes of the song and then change to go. Mind you have to, each stage is like 30 minutes. Like there's a timer. Each stage is like 30 minutes long.
Oh,
it's like
no.
Dynasty Warriors, where you're like slashing up a bunch of enemies and you fly onto your dragon and burn them all and shit.
I hate timed games.
Oh, but you're not timed as in like, you have to get here before this. It's just that this is as long as the stage stays open. Like the stage ends at half an hour in real time.
That's so irritating. That's so irritating.
But here's where it gets more irritating. There is a, to unlock all the endings, you have to do specific things. And so to get the actual ending, you have to collect all the weapons. This is before like you could just Google how to do this. Like we were still going on gamefaq.com.
Oh, and good old.
Like, oh,
game facts.
Yep. You have to wait until the last 5 minutes of the stage and then this treasure chest will open. You have to fly all the way over to it because you can't access it before then. Get the treasure chest and then beat all the enemies in the stage.
What system was this like, for?
It was for PlayStation 2. PlayStation 2.
Oh, yeah. Jesus Christ. So it seems like it would be an earlier game than that, because games got a little less irritating.
No, that was
once PlayStation 2 came out.
So hold on, bro. So you beat the game, and so you're going through, like, you beat the game and you find the final boss. Essentially, by the climax of the game, demons start pouring in from everywhere. The demons happen to just be giant babies with really giant flat teeth. No fucking lie, and they just eat and destroy everything. You defeat them, and you fly into this black orb, and all of a sudden, everything is black and white and silent. And this big eunuch woman thing comes out of the sky, and it looks like it's made of stone, and lands, and you realize you're in modern-day Tokyo. And the game... Mind you, it's been hack and slash the entire game, unless you're flying and you're shooting things, so it's shmup hack and slash, but now it's a rhythm action game. Because this thing is just spitting out black and white rings, and you have to hit, like, square XX, square XX, square X, square XX, square, something like that.
I mean,
and I figured out a strategy, because I tried months to try to beat this, but you can't move fast enough, but I realized if you pause the game... You can look at the sequence and then unpause it and hit the sequence.
Cheater.
I just like, fuck that. How fuck that? It was an exploit. And I will gladly use that exploit because this game, I went through all that bullshit to not get the real ending.
You don't want to have this conversation with me about exploits versus cheats, because to me, they're the same fucking thing. I've complained about them before when I play NHL. An exploit is cheating.
And again, you're playing against someone else.
Yeah,
I'm playing
true.
Against the fucking broken ass computer.
All right, you're right. That's true. I've done that a million times too, now that I think about it.
So you beat it, right? It's finally over. Almost to the point that the character in the game goes, "It's over." And then two motherfucking rockets come off screen, hit you, and you fucking fall out of the sky. The credits roll in silence. The camera pans down, and you and your dragon are impaled on a skyscraper. And then the game goes to black, and you hear this little girl goes, "Thank you for playing." I the first time I ever like experienced gamer rage was that moment. Unadulterated gamer rage.
We've discussed before how a game has to be really, really fucking good to have a shitty ending, like a lackluster ending.
Yeah.
So if a game is that bad and that irritating to play, they have to have a really, really rewarding ending for you to feel like you suffered through something worthwhile.
Nope.
And that
the game is about
satisfying.
Suffering. The game, and
it's about suffering.
Mind you, I beat the game. I'm the only person I knew who played it and beat it 100%.
Like, the
only
heard
person
of it.
I knew.
What was the name again?
Nobody else will play Drakengard.
Drakengard.
There are two
okay.
sequels, I think. And Nero is a spinoff of the Nero series, or Nero is a spinoff of it. They're all connected, made by the same creator, and the creator is phenomenal. Actually, Nier Automata is one of the sequels.
I just looked up,
which
the
is
giant
a really popular
babies.
Game. Yeah, giant babies with flat teeth.
What the
and
fuck? What the fuck is
there's
this?
There's this elf woman who can't have kids, who can't have kids because the pact she made with her beast, her elements or whatever, fey creatures, was to give up her womb, and it drove her cuckoo crazy, and she kills and or eats kids.
What
and
the
so
fuck
the babies
is
eat her. The game is literally just the fucking nightmare scenario in Berserk. The red when yeah. the red moon came and yes. they just fucking everyone got murdered. That whole the game is literally all of that.
The teeth too. What's the deal with the teeth?
Big fucking flat teeth, which is more terrifying.
Right,
my
Google
sister,
Drakengard watcher babies. And you can see this picture of these fucking creepy ass
sticks
doll
with it. It
babies
stuck with me
with
my entire life.
Dinosaur teeth, and their eyes are like half open too.
Google's
talking to me.
White orbs in their heads. And my sister turns to me and goes, "I want to burn this game." My sister is not a violent person, but the first thought in her head was, "Yeah, I'm going to burn this game."
I don't
and she
blame
held
her.
On to it. She held on to the game because she wanted me to witness her burning it. She never got around to it, you know, life and everything. But I decided, you know what? I'm going to try to beat this game again. I want to see why this stuck with me. I could not get through the first 15 minutes of it.
We should find it on eBay and burn it. We'll have a
bonfire. I still own it.
Oh,
I still own it.
We'll get a fire going in the yard. We'll toss it
I
on
can't.
Top.
It's a part of me now. I feel like Captain Kirk when he was like, I need my pain. This game is that for me.
Oh, speaking of Captain
it
Kirk,
it like represents pain.
Random aside. Oh my God, what the fuck's his name? Captain Kirk.
William Shatner?
William Shatner was on Bill Maher's show. Dude's 93.
How is he still alive?
I know. He's 10 years older than Biden. And the dude is like snappy and witty and with it. And like, it's just like so weird to see the juxtaposition between Biden at 83 and this guy at 93 and how this guy's just like still completely like mentally all there. Like no signs of decline. No, it's just weird. And he looks great. He looks like he's like 60. It's crazy. He's got to be drinking baby blood. Speaking of babies.
I don't put it past him.
I don't know what else it could be. Anyway, that game sounds...
But yeah, Drakengard just fucking... Oh,
horrifying.
My God. Like, I just... And I found out years later that was by design. It wasn't like they were just being fucked. It was just fucked up because they didn't know what they were doing.
Yeah.
By design, the game was made to be as awful as possible. The gameplay didn't suck, and the graphics are not bad.
Look, it's just... from what I saw for PS2, yeah, they look fine.
And the story is phenomenal, but it's made to make you feel hopeless from beginning to fucking end.
I mean, who am I to define what art should be, but fuck that.
God damn. Like, I was just like, you fucking bastards.
Yeah, I don't see the point in making that type of art. I don't get it.
I do. I see the value in it only because I witnessed the horror. I looked into the abyss, and it stared right back at me and called me a bitch.
I'm trying to think of any games I might have played that had that sort of effect. Like, but the only games I could think of where I was just genuinely upset or angry at the game were like, for example, like Silent Hill 4. I was just
the
mad
room?
At it.
That was the room, yes. right?
Yeah, but it wasn't necessarily that. It was more I was just mad because it was a Silent Hill game, and I was like, this wasn't what it should be. I've played.
Oh yeah,
Silent
you picked
Hill
up
games.
On the fact that it did not feel like a real Silent Hill game.
No, it was more that like this is just garbage. This is not like Silent Hill games have this great ambiance and feel to them, and this just didn't have it. So I think it was more that it wasn't what I wanted than the game itself was as horrible as I actually felt it was. But I don't know if I can think of any games I played where I just played them and I was just like, why did I play that game? For you know, something, some other type of reason. Because I don't do it often, but if I've played a game where it's that bad, I just stop playing it.
I feel like that game put me in a gears, but back then I could endure really bad things, like really awful things. Like, I'm already, we all know I'm a glutton for punishment.
Well, you had the time, but you know?
Yeah. But that game literally just, I felt like I needed to beat it. I felt like I put so much time into it, and I love the character so much, and I love the gameplay, because I like Dynasty Warriors.
Yeah, I've had games so, like that too, though. That's true.
I gotta keep going, but they just kept getting, it just kept getting progressively worse. Like, there's a child character who gave up his time so he can't age, and you think, oh, that's cool. No, he's a little child forever, and he dies, but the way he dies is he dies in a time loop. So he stops time because his ability fucking stops the monster from coming out. But all it does is slow time, so he's perpetually dying.
Yeah, that's horrifying. What is this game? Jesus Christ.
What? And mind you, during that entire time, he's not the only one that's perpetually dying. The main character and the dragon are perpetually being eaten by baby monsters.
Do you have a PlayStation 2 somewhere still?
I think mine is packed away. I think I do have one, and if not, my sister has two.
Yeah, I think mine I gave away. So I don't think I even know where it is. I want to see this game.
I don't give away my consoles.
Really?
I will. Yeah, I don't like giving away my consoles. They are memorable. They will eventually go on a wall.
I felt that way too until I realized they were just taking up space in boxes, and eventually I just kind of was like, eh.
I need a goal. If I get rid of it, I will lose my shit.
I feel like my PlayStation 2 might still be hanging out somewhere, and I'm just not sure where it is right off the top of my head. But anyway, because I had a modded PlayStation 2. I had the complete shit with the disc swap cover where you could open the cover up and then swap out the boot disc for a burned game and then play your pirated game. Cool. Yeah,
I got to play Dragon Ball GT for the first time.
Well, that was the only way you could play like anything that wasn't brought to America. You could download Japanese versions of games and stuff and play them on there. It was really dope. Plus, I didn't have any money, so I couldn't buy the games I wanted to play. So I would find them online, burn them. Man, I used to love. I used to be such into that scene and loved burning all my pirated games and stuff. I shouldn't be admitting this on camera, but at this point, I think the statute of limitations has run out anyway.
Oh yeah, look, I was really into like playing emulators when I was a kid. Like I was all the like the Terranigma and all these games that I never got to play for SNES. And then it was like, why don't you know get PlayStation games on there? And I tried. It was like, well, first you got to get an iOS. I'm like, what the fuck is that? And they're like, and then you got to get the emulator, but isn't it supposed to be a ROM? Well, you have to have the BIOS first. I'm like, the fuck is a BIOS?
Yeah,
like, I just know that. I download program. This program makes this program run. That's it. Like I don't understand anymore.
Yeah,
and then I have to be careful because a lot of them are viruses that just these assholes want to create viruses to fuck with you.
Yeah.
So like, I was too dumb for that.
I was just talking about just the two Castlevania games. There's a site called VIMM.net. Been around forever and is well known. So I was able to find the two ROMs for the Castlevania DS games there. And the emulators are so easy now. I mean, you just install one program and it sets everything up for you. And I don't think you need the BIOS keys anymore for the most part. But yeah, it's so much easier now to do.
Oh, no, I did try it again, obviously, as an adult now. Not that I understood it, but I was like, don't you need an iOS for this? Like, no, idiot. You haven't done this in years. This doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah, it's optional. Because I actually didn't have the DS emulator installed on my Steam Deck, and I had to install it, and it said BIOS optional, and I was like, "Oh, sweet, thank you."
Yeah, well, to introduce my son to Predator: Concrete Jungle.
I don't think Hulk I played that.
Ultimate Destruction. That's a good game. What Predator system called was that Concrete for? Jungle. I think it was PlayStation 2 as well.
Oh, okay, all right.
I introduced him to Hulk Concrete Jungle. He doesn't like the way old games look, so I'm trying to like break his will, because he's six.
They're spoiled.
Like, no, I'm gonna break man. Your I'm gonna you gotta understand that the they're creativity spoiled. Is better than graphics.
It's hard because like I think even my daughter and my son they can understand the value in playing like a 2D sprite art game because they're like, oh, this is a different thing.
Yeah.
But if it's a 3D game
and it looks like
PlayStation graphics,
they're
just like, what is this garbage? You know,
but people move around like San Andreas characters. It's like, just why?
It's a whole different thing when as opposed to really old games for SNES or NES that are pixelated. It's just a different type form of artwork to them, and they just look at it as its own thing because there's still 2D games being made. Where nobody makes 3D games with shitty fucking graphics anymore.
Well, my son surprised me because I was really sad. Like I showed him because he loves Star Wars Battlefront. He's like one of the 12 players that still play that game.
Yeah.
And Battlefront 2 Remaster came out, and I got him excited for it. I wasn't expecting him to actually get excited for it because, like, I don't really like the way they look because, you know, they look like blocks. But I was like, right. You know, you need to try it, right? Just try it. I'm sure you'll like it. Everybody seems to like this one better than the new one that came out.
Well, even in the remaster, they still look bad.
They're higher quality, but they never, like, they didn't remake the models or anything.
Right.
They probably
they just updated the skins. Yeah. All right.
Yeah. So,
gotcha.
But, you know, he was just like, yeah, I don't know. And then I caught him, like, watching the trailer for it. I was like, okay. And then we went to our friend's house, the friend has the game. So my son was like excited and wanted to play it, and he is now obsessed with that game.
Oh, cool!
He's like, this one is way better. I'm like, yes, it is way better than whatever they fucking shat out with the beautiful. If they made a Battlefront 3, they should just make Battlefront 2 with Battlefront 2, the other Battlefront 2's graphics.
Yeah.
Like, that's all they need to do. You had more planets, you had more characters, it was more fun being a Jedi instead of just kind of feeling like you're puppeteering a robot man.
Right.
I mean, unless you're Vader, that's so you feel like that. But overall, I'm just like, yeah, I'm sorry to tell you this, it does look better. He's like, you know what, you were right. I'm like, somebody actually thinks I'm correct in this house.
yeah, I feel you.
So... I was really happy about that moment. Like, he actually came around on his own. I didn't bother him anymore about it. But he now learned that graphics aren't everything.
Yeah, it's a hard lesson to learn. You have to really give it time. Like, I could probably go back and play the original Metal Gear Solid on PlayStation 1 and still love it, you know? And I think anybody could go back and play that and love it. But it's a hard hurdle for especially kids that have never had these consoles with graphics that weren't really pretty damn good to jump over that hurdle to get past the kind of blocky, crappy graphics and for what it is.
I think that's why, you know, it's good to have remasters like Twin Snakes or the Resident Evil remakes. Not the remakes, but the first when they remastered the first Resident Evil.
I'm playing The Last of Us Part 2 remastered. The game came out 4 years
ago. It didn't need to be remastered.
I know.
Unless they severely fucked up some stuff.
I'm playing the game and I'm just like, I don't feel like this is any better or different. I'm pretty sure this is exactly the same as when I originally played it. It's the same thing.
I mean, they do that with Skyrim constantly and they just never change anything.
That's true. And I mean, Grand Theft Auto's been around for, what, 3 console generations now?
Right.
Grand Theft Auto 6 or 5. And they just keep updating it slightly and adding new content.
There's nothing you could tell me to make me think that 6 is going to look better than 5. It may be better.
I mean, if you see 5 on PC, like, the graphics are amazing in some cases.
Phenomenal.
It's just unbelievable.
People still playing it.
Right. So, I don't know. But I'm looking forward to this year's. I think we've discussed before, this year's a little lax in new game releases, and I'm looking forward to kind of diving into the old catalog and seeing, you know, what either I missed or what I want to play again, and try to go that way. So we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, as long with games, like right now, like I have my PS5. I haven't been playing it because I don't really have anything to play on it right now.
Right.
But picking up back with Cyberpunk, which. I realize how much I do relate to, and I know this does sound stupid when I say this, but I'm going to explain why I don't think it's a stupid statement. I think I really relate to my version of V. And like, what do you mean your version of V? You guys make up you make up what the character says. Like,
yeah.
So, but the thing is, there's only a binary. It's such a, not a binary, but it's such limited. Like, it's not like I know I can have a vast array of things I can say or do.
Right. It's like three choices, like, four choices or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah. It's just choices. But, and things generally are always going to be the same no matter what. And maybe you get a little bit of a snarkier, like, retort, but that's about it.
Right. Yeah.
But I understand, like, the feeling of, you know, trying to be proactive, but ultimately just being, like, partially proactive and mostly reactive and not knowing what to do with yourself. And that fight for, like, self-identity really, like, plays up a lot. It, like, it's starting to play in my head a lot more than my first time around when I was just enjoying it as a video game.
I can see that with Cyberpunk, though. I can see that.
Yeah.
How that works. Just thinking back to the game and playing through it for, you know, myself and the different missions that were available and the different things that happened, the different options and the different story trees, if you want to call them story trees, that were available. I can see how that could happen.
And it's just like, as I'm romancing the most popular romance character right now, Pan Am. Well, first, you know, the heterosexual demographic of people.
Which one is Pan Am?
These. Pan Am is the Aldecado or Nomad. She's the
green hair,
really feisty. No, that's Judy. I love.
Yeah, I thought Judy was the one.
No, Pan Am. Judy is the best for the lesbian character demographic because they have sexual preferences.
Gotcha. Okay. I thought I remembered her being the one that everybody obsessed over when it came out. I love
Judy.
Like, yeah, I liked her character.
For my female V, it's Judy. For my male V, it's Pan Am. But
I liked the character a lot. You know,
I feel like Pan Am 1 is the quintessential, like, character that's supposed to be your partner, like, canon.
Okay.
But ultimately, I was just going through, I was like, man, Pan Am is a pain in the ass. Like, I was just thinking about it. I was like, man, she's a pain in the ass, but she fights for you tooth and fucking nail.
Oh, right. Okay. I'm looking her up now. Yes. Okay. I remember now. Yeah. I think that's the route.
Like, yeah,
that's the route I went as well. Yep.
And I was really thinking about it. It's like, if I was playing it like a video game, it's like, man, this character's annoying. I'm not going to romance her. But ultimately, I'm just like, but when you really, like, when you do romance her, you realize that, you know, yeah, she does things that you might not like, but in the end, she is there for you no fucking matter what. She doesn't agree with everything you say. She'll fight you for you.
Right.
And in the end, is that something that you want in a person? And I was just kind of thinking about that. I was like, fuck. God damn it. I did marry a woman that's like that.
Yeah.
Like, my wife annoys the shit out of me. But in the end, that is like, no matter what has happened, she's really been in my court, like, hardcore. And, like, that fucking kind of sucks to not realize that, like, that's something I do value. And that made me relate to the character a little bit more, because the character that I was slowly building without me really actively noticing it was really following those traits.
Right. No, I see because what you're saying.
I love Judy's character. She's your best, close best friend if you're a male character.
Right.
But ultimately, it doesn't have that one thing in that regard, in that story, that playthrough, that would make her romanceable, even though she's not romanceable because of her preference, regardless. If you did or didn't know, I just wouldn't fall for her romantically because she didn't have that.
Yeah, I didn't know. I didn't recall. Judy is not romanceable
if you're male.
I'm getting bits and pieces of the storyline as you're talking about it coming back in my head. Like, oh, yeah, I remember that part. Oh, yeah, I remember that part. I played it a while ago, but it's for some reason that it's not really, really stuck in my head. I don't know why.
Oh, that's fine. I mean, you probably were just kind of going through the motions initially when playing a video game, because that's what I realized when I was playing it initially. I was going through the motions. I was enjoying myself.
I was initially
I wasn't experiencing it.
Well, part of the problem was, I think I got to a certain part in the game and I lost my save, or it glitched, or something happened, and I had to replay
a lot of those.
I had to replay like 8 to 10 hours of the game. And I remember, just by the time I got back to where I was like, I'm just going through the motions to get through this game. I wasn't even enjoying it. I was just trying to get through the game so I could be like, all right, I finished it. It's over. I don't think I even did a lot of the side missions. You know, I'm thinking back now.
Oh, I have side missions are so fucking fun.
Well, it's funny because in typical games like Horizon, Assassin's Creed, all I do every yeah. single side mission. Funny enough, my daughter really wants to play Horizon. She keeps asking about it. And it's something that I'm struggling with because I know it's going to be hard.
Not on daddy's profile, you little bitch. No, just kidding.
She can have her own save. Well, that's the problem. She wanted to play Breath of the Wild, but I was like, I think you only get one save in Breath of the Wild. And I don't want
Nintendo
her
to, doesn't allow for other slots. I'm sorry.
I don't want her to slot over mine. Although maybe if I switch the profile, it's a different
if
game.
If you switch the profile, it will be a different.
All right. So, but I'm struggling with, I know she's going to have a hard time at first, even though she's good. Like we've been playing It Takes Two for like a year and we're like more than halfway through that game and she's done great with the platforming and forming elements. But the mechanics of, I've realized the mechanics of fighting in those types of games, you have to learn. Like you really have to learn how to do it and how to react quickly. Yeah. And I just worry that she's going to struggle with that and get frustrated. And A, I don't want to deal with her being frustrated with it. And B, I don't want her to get frustrated and just turned off completely. So I'm trying.
You don't want
to
her to give up, but you don't want her to be a pain in the ass about it.
Yes. So I'm trying to figure out if there's maybe something in the middle that I can start her with that's a little more forgiving. I don't know. Maybe there's something.
There are a few.
If you have any suggestions, let me know. If anybody listening has a suggestion.
Yeah, that's actually, you know, anybody else whose brains to be picked on.
Please let me know.
My son plays MK1 and we take turns on it. Right. And sometimes I get really annoyed with certain things. Like he'll go, oh, I'm not doing this. And he'll hand me the controller like I'm in the room. And it's one of those stages where you have to dodge.
Right.
And I get it. I'm like, but I don't want to do it.
I wouldn't mind that so much. But at the same time, if she's trying to hand it over to me, I'm more like, no, you got to figure it out yourself. Like, do it yourself. Figure it out yourself. Like, yeah. You can't just push it off to me.
I want him to try it first.
That's a good stipulation.
I want you to at least try it first. And if I give you advice, try my advice.
There's got to be a game that's kind of middle ground, though, with similar combat to,
I mean,
again, all these games are very similar.
Generations back.
Horizon, Ghost of Tsushima, Assassin's, they all are very similar in the action art. That's why you can, she always says, like, you're so good at these. And I said, like, I've been playing these games for 20 plus years with these elements, and they may have
Ghost of Tsushima.
There's little.
That's a starter on that.
That's a completely. They take it to a different level, but it's still the same basic mechanic.
Your daughter Sekiro, she'll be a warrior by night's end.
No, not doing that. there's got to be something. Maybe you know what? Maybe one of the middle.
I think Assassin's Creed.
I was thinking maybe a better one because she's interested in Link and Zelda to begin with. Maybe like Wind Waker or something like that. That's kind of middle ground. A little more forgiving.
Wind Waker plays a little different. If you want one, like, again, Breath of the Wild is not hard. Especially because it's a game that goes at your pace.
She has
to learn patience with climbing and the puzzles you might have to help her with. But literally, you do whatever you want, and that's how you learn to play the game.
The combat can be a little difficult at first until you get leveled up enough where you have a little more strength.
You have to know where you go. If you go out into the wild, you will get murked. Yeah.
That is true. Yeah, that's a good
point. Like, it really, and that's something you have to learn. Maybe I shouldn't go that way. Maybe I should go this other way. Maybe I should climb up here.
You know what? Maybe, like, I will start with Breath of the Wild.
Maybe I shouldn't go to that fucking island where they take all your armor and you're just screwed.
Yeah. Maybe I will start with Breath of the Wild because that's Switch. It's nice and easy. She can pick it up. She can, you know, sit on a chair
with
it.
Put it down when she wants.
Yeah, put it down when she's not. Maybe I'll do that. That's a good point. Man, that was a lot of gaming talk. We're going to have some people.
Well, I think that has to do with our episode.
Well, yes, that's true. Before we get into that, because I think what we'll do is we got to take a little break. So I think we'll start the topic after the break, if that works with you. What do you think about World War III going to break out? Do you think
this is like the third? This is quite literally the third time I'm hearing of World War III at this point. I don't care if it does or doesn't happen. I can't afford the emotional expanse.
I think that I saw over the weekend that Iran launched drones and missiles and shit at Israel. And everybody was like, oh my God. But then like Israel and the United States and some other countries just like nerfed them all out of the air. Just took them all out. But it's just like, I hate all these people fighting over their religions. It's just so stupid to me.
Yeah.
I hate it.
I mean, what got me really upset, it's to do with politics anyway, is, actually, it's just so I can say it correctly, was it Louisiana, Mississippi, and Texas abolished the right to mass protest?
Wait, what?
Yeah. They abolished the right to mass protest.
What?
Saying it's... go into it.
It's and, a constitutional right.
From what I surmised, at least for as far as Louisiana is concerned, and I'm sorry, I'm going to sound like really fucked about this, and this is just how I feel, ultimately, is they're not commenting on why they chose to do that, except for maybe Louisiana. And I didn't download the article, so I don't remember exactly how it said, so I'm not going to try to put out misinformation on what they said. But as far as I remember, a lot of them did not comment on the Supreme Court didn't comment on the decision. But three states.
Right.
And okay. I was just like, wow, that upset me greatly.
Well, I just pulled up a Snopes article, but it's not a fact check. It's just an article. It's not just a is it true or not? So that's not helpful.
Oh, but I did a bunch of look. I looked up a whole bunch of things on it, but it was also like four nights ago, and unfortunately, memory does not work that well.
Now, here we go. The Supreme Court's, this is Yahoo News. The Supreme Court's inaction, refusing to hear this case, effectively abolished right to mass protest across three states, allowing the lower court's ruling to seemingly infringe upon the Constitution's First Amendment. What are we doing?
Yeah. See, it sounds cartoonish, doesn't it? But once one thing gets okayed or ignored, it just snowballs into the extremely ridiculous things. And the problem that upsets me the most is I already know how the song and dance is going to go. Because I didn't see this. When I saw this article, I didn't see this on the news that popped up. I didn't hear about it through anything else. I saw it on fucking YouTube, somebody's community post.
Oh, wow.
On YouTube. Someone that I don't even follow. It just kind of popped up. And I had to look it up because of that.
Well, it's funny that...
The day that it happened.
It's funny that I do my search and I don't see anything on New York Times, Washington Post, any of like the major, you know, news organizations you'd expect to see an article from. It's all, I mean, not irrelevant or untrustworthy sites, but I don't see any major news organizations talking about it.
Yeah. So ultimately, it's just going to be out there. Things going to happen and then nothing's going to be said. Sometimes going to pass. Then it's going to happen again. And sometimes going to pass. It's going to happen again until the point in which it's going to be so massive that it can't be ignored. But all it's going to be is a bunch of people screaming at each other on the internet about it and giving all kinds of fucking misinformation on each and every side. And then we just have less rights as people.
Yeah. That's pretty much it.
And we're just slowly marching our way into just being commodities or numbers. And it's very depressing. And that's kind of one of the things that just kind of pushed me further into my existential depression. That's why I've kind of just don't have the emotional bandwidth for anything.
No, I understand. That's it is cartoonish.
So sorry for putting a downer on it, but it's just cartoonishly fucking villainous.
It is cartoonishly villainish. It's it makes no sense. Well, they're currently, I don't know if they made any decisions on the FISA too, which is, you know, allows all the illegal wiretapping and stuff that allows people to, and allows the government to essentially record all these phone calls that are going on. I think it has to have some relationship to international, but allowing them to basically spy and record all of our phone calls and then collect 2 years worth of data and just keep them somewhere in a warehouse.
Wonderful. Which, you know, they're going to then copy that to, well, you know, that information your phone picks up when you're not using it. Yeah, that counts too because it's through the phone.
Yeah. Yep. You're probably right. FISA renewal bill clears procedural hurdle as a Senate deadline nears. So I guess maybe they haven't actually come to a conclusion yet because I think today is the last day they have. But allows people to just do get get phone call data without warrants and shit. It's nice, right?
Yep.
Fucking ridiculous. The Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act. Anyway, I guess we'll stop here and then move on to our topic when I get back, when we get back.
If you want to leave now, I did have one more thing I wanted to bring up, but
yeah, let's go for it. We got time. Let's do it.
All right, so I did my thing that to try to bring some lightness, but with my little snark up. So I got into a bit of another Instagram tizzy.
Oh no!
With I really don't want to give them any like credit, but I can't help myself.
Okay.
So there's a game, a game company. Apparently, people that came from Wizards of the Coast, called Wonders of the First.
That sounds like a ripoff, like a parody.
Well, apparently a bunch of artists and workers from Wizard of the Coast, I guess, after being caught using AI for Magic the Gathering cards.
Really?
That was a scandal. I want to say last year.
Well,
some artists were caught using AI, and that was a big scandal.
That's a current debate over that new Civil War movie that people are allegedly saying that they use AI for the posters.
Yeah,
come on, man! Like, come on!
I saw a blink of that.
Don't be those people. Don't be those people that ruin it. All right. Anyway, sorry. Go ahead.
Ruin what? The use of AI or? Like, because they are using AI for a marketing thing.
Yeah,
which
but you're a big studio.
You're not like, you shouldn't be using it.
Yeah, pay
artists. No. Oh, okay, yes. I wanted to clarify. Okay.
No, yeah, you're a big studio. Pay artists to make your posters. Don't fucking cheap out and use AI. You can afford it.
Yeah.
You have a marketing budget.
I don't feel like AI is terrible. I ultimately feel like AI right now should just be a tool or a utility. I've said it before. It's a toy or a utility, not
agreed.
A tool.
Yeah.
But so Wonders of the First, they have this. I got it. What's the word I'm looking for? A advertisement for it, right?
Okay.
And so I pop in and look, and they show like they talk about their world, and they don't really say anything. It's like a word salad of what this game is. They're pointing out like, you'll be one of the first to get this piece of weird shaped plastic, you know, saying like these are gems and trying to give the backstory to their world.
Okay.
But then somebody, I go into the comments because that is just my thing, right?
You love your YouTube comments, Instagram comments.
Well, Instagram comments in general. I just like comments because people are fucked. One person goes, from one artist art painting emoji to another artist art painting emoji. Great art painting emoji. Job on those cards. Spade diamond. Whatever the fuck that is.
Spade diamond? I don't know.
That's literally just the emojis they used. And Wonders of the First said, thank you so much. Somebody else under it goes, it's AI art. It's AI. It's not art. Wonders of the First responds to that person. They respond to people. It's a universe with a cohesive look and feel, with more than 4,200 characters built into the lore already. There is massive artistry here. Somebody replies, minus the actual art. No, mind you, I haven't said anything yet.
No, okay.
Somebody replies to Wonders of the First, just ignore them. What I've seen looks great. AI is has its time and place, and I think it's perfectly fine you used it. I'm excited to get my hands on some of your cards. I'm signing up and ready. They go, thank you for your kind words. So somebody, the original person goes, nah, why is this the time and place to steal? So Wonders of the First replied to them, clap, clap, clap. No clue what you mean. Would be happy to engage in an actual conversation if you have a legitimate comment to make, though. So, you know, some people are just like laughing, praise emoji. Then the superhero comes in. AI utilizes unauthorized art from artists to Frankenstein-generated images. The real artists are not paid for their contribution, and therefore makes it a theft. AI cannot create images without an original art first fed into it. Again, this is done without artist permission and is unpaid. I respond, I hope that Wonders of the First engages with this legitimate comment. That was 5 days ago. They have not said shit. Mind you, they reply promptly to everything else.
Yeah.
I then warn people that, you know, don't let the flowery words confuse you. They use words like artistry. Oh, I'm sorry. Before I replied, I looked in and I was like, you know what? I'm getting really irritated with this, right? And so somebody asks if it's AI art, and I respond, and by artist, somebody goes, nah, look at the bottom of the cards. They tell you who the artist is. Because they did, like, with Magic the Gathering, when you look at the pictures, a lot of them have the artist's signature on the bottom.
Please tell me it's not the person who used the AI to generate the image.
Oh, well, I looked up the person to make sure it was a real name. And it is a real name, and apparently of an artist, but all he did was write prompts.
That's too far.
He's an artist using prompts, which is more insulting, right? Because I've seen him do art, apparently. I've looked at his whole website.
Look, there's a lot to this debate. I was just like,
the fuck? Now I'm thinking everything you do is AI. I don't give a shit what anybody says at this point.
Oh, absolutely. This is so much to get into. Because we can dive into this very, very deeply. We should dive into this deeper.
Well, I just want to finish this.
Yeah, finish this thought. But I don't want to let this go. I can't just let this stop here.
Oh, absolutely. So, and I go, and by artist, you mean the one who wrote the prompt. And somebody, the guy replied to me, literally look at the art itself. No imperfections in the background. No weird distortions. Colors all matching up. Nothing weirdly blurred together. They're real art. But this is a screenshot, mind you.
This is verifiable. It's verifiable that they use AI art, right? Like, it's admitted, it's known, it's not up for debate.
I will let you know after I tell you my reply.
Okay.
Because this is right before I went and looked into Wonders of the First. I go, slap face head emoji. Okay. I hope you're not going to argue the point no matter what I say. But just look at the card with the pirate lady. Hair jutting out in ways that don't make sense for stationary pose. She has a belt strap that blends into her giant belt. And her earrings stick out in ways that make no sense if gravity exists.
Can you link this? Link me to this?
I doubt it was purposefully drawn in that way. If I could, I would scrutinize all the cards. And my bad for not mentioning that they may edit the cards. Somebody replies to me, goes, ever heard of Wind Buddy? I go, what's this wind you speak of? Please teach me, oh great sage. Never replied to me. And somebody goes, thanks. It honestly bugged me. It looks like AI art that's just touched up. So then I actually went into their stuff, right? I was really like, I was just so pissed off that you were arguing with this point with me when it was quite obvious.
Of course.
I sent you a picture of the woman, by the way. And I was looking at it more. I was like, you know what? I've played with AI enough. That's the only reason why I feel like I can do this, because I've played with the AI. Because it's fun. It is fun to just fuck around and see how good I can make it and if I can edit it to look like a real picture.
So for sake of transparency, our thumbnails, like the last few episodes, have been you generated with AI art and edited yourself. Mm-hmm. And again, we'll get into this, but I look at that as, and we talked about it, as something we don't have the money or the resources to hire an artist to create a thumbnail for every episode. So no money was lost by an artist in that aspect, right? Because we weren't going to pay somebody to do it. Yeah, we weren't going to pay somebody to create thumbnails. And then of course there's the other side of it, which is the ingesting someone else's artwork to create the AI. So we'll get into that later.
Yeah,
but continue.
So, and mind you, I feel generally conflicted when it comes to AI art, because again, I like it, but I get it. So I will go in and edit like fucking crazy. But regardless of that,
is this Beyonce? So, it looks like Beyonce.
As I said, so there's the picture. So I was looking at it, I was like, I've made pirates things before. Now, beyond the things I've mentioned, if you notice, there's a rope behind her head. It doesn't continue past the side of her hair that's sticking out for no reason.
No, it doesn't. No.
It doesn't continue through. If you look at the ship is upside down. Actually, it's sideways. There is no reason for the ship to be the way it is. There's pieces of wood going where it doesn't make sense where they're fucking going.
No, you're right. You're 100% right.
It, And he, you're saying no imperfections. There is no background to be imperfected. What do you mean, the half a cloud? But there's literally like...
There's extra buttonholes on her shirt that don't line up on with her shirt where the
that
buttons
don't
are.
Line up.
Yeah.
On her left arm, that arm brown armband, her shirt goes around and over it. It goes into the shirt.
Her big braless tits are stretching out the shirt.
And mind you, the corset thing goes under one breast but over the other. Like, it doesn't make sense.
Oh yeah,
none
you're
of
right.
it makes sense.
You're right.
And if you zoom in, her nostrils don't make sense. Her eye, her one of her eyes are off, which is a thing AI has a hard time doing when somebody's looking in a direction.
Yeah,
is that her eyes are off. There's a lot. And again, her fucking earrings don't actually connect to her ears.
No, they're just kind of floating there.
It was like, you got to be fucking kidding me. So I went to their website and these fuckers said I'm going to take my breath.
Her belt buckle doesn't look right either. It
doesn't. None of it looks right. Not a thing on it looks right. But so... They use a lot of flowery language because they have a no harm, no foul kind of thought process when it comes to AI, which, you know what? Fine. Fucking do that, I guess. But you're monetizing an entire system. If you were just selling the game system, that's fine. But you're not transparent about it. You're so proud, and anyone that praises your fucking bullshit art, you're welcome. You're
prayer
okay
hands,
with them.
Prayer hands, prayer hands, prayer hands.
Yeah. But you mean to fucking tell me that you're not transparent in your video? We've worked with modern technology to make images. Like, you're not saying that because you fucking know. And they're like, well, we've always been honest about it. Because they make a statement. And I can't find it right now. Well, we've been honest about using AI art. We use coherent, whatever. It's supposed to stay within the logic of their universe. That's what the statement ultimately is.
Right.
All the art stays in the art logic of the universe. So that means they have an editor who makes sure to not write prompts that don't make fucking sense.
Or they just make sure when they use Midjourney, they include the prompts that reference their other images to
exactly
maintain similar styles and design layouts.
So they're fucking doing that. And again, they're monetizing this.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, we've been very transparent and open and honest. If you look on our website, to look on your website, if you're advertising something to me, like, and it happens to be like poison, you need to fucking say that it's poison.
Go check our website.
But you're telling me to, one, look at, go to your website. It doesn't say that initially on there. I have to fucking dig in your website to fucking find it. I looked up your fucking artist, didn't see a shit about AI at all. I had to go to your fucking website and find him buried in your fucking website.
Yeah.
Because nothing he puts out goes, yeah, I write prompts for Wonders of the... No, he doesn't fucking do that because he knows. They right. fucking know.
All right, we got to take a break, but...
So, yeah.
Send me... in between here, send me the link because I want to go check it out before we start picking up... it up again.
I got you.
All right. We'll be back. I don't know why I'm saying we'll be back, because for the listener, this is going to be seamless.
It's going to be cut out.
Okay. So we're back from our little hiatus here in a recording session. And in between, I read this article that these Wonders of the First characters put up, and it's glitching out on my computer here. So that's awesome. I'm trying to. this is awesome. There's a pop-up. Don't be left wondering. When I try to move my cursor towards it, it disappears. And then when I move my cursor away, it reappears.
That sounds like it worked. That sounds about right.
So this is the way they responded here. All right. So at Wonders of the First, we believe
inevitabilities of death.
Death, taxes, and the relentless advance of technology. Okay, fine. This position paper is intended to share our firmly held beliefs that role AI will play in the future and our use of AI within the Wonders of the First universe. This is a call to embrace innovation with open minds and understand the profound impact on AI can have on enhancing our creative expressions. No, it's not. No, it's not. It's a call to excuse
it's
you
just a
for,
card game. It's just
for
a card
using,
game.
Yeah, for your, it's a card game. And then it gets worse because then they go... Throughout history, technological advancements have reshaped our society in profound ways, displacing old technologies, creating new opportunities and conveniences. I'm going to paraphrase here. Humanity didn't resist electricity to protect candle making jobs. Not the same thing. Fire and electricity. Fire and electricity are not the same
necessities.
Thing.
And they're necessities.
And they're necessities. Not the same thing. Nor did we mourn the loss of ice delivery services with the widespread adaptation of home refrigerations. Again, you're a card game. You're a fucking card game.
And mind you, guess what? Ice still gets delivered all over the world.
All over the world, all the time.
People, ice deliverers don't lose their jobs at all.
People deliver ice all the time. We buy it out of big coolers.
Yep, literally the creation of refrigerators just created more jobs. Because now you need people who maintain refrigerators. You need people who build refrigerators. Nope. You need people to make sure refrigerators die so you can buy more refrigerators that created more businesses. You created more jobs.
You need the hallway company to remove your old refrigerator when it does break. It's limitless.
Exactly.
Which led to improved living standards, spurred economic development. Yes, in a much different way. You are doing none of those things.
None of them.
You are not doing that. Similarly, the introduction of the printing press revolutionized access to knowledge. Again, has nothing to do with your point. The printing press allowed, that allowed the expansion of knowledge and allowed more people to access it. What does that have to do with your card game?
Nothing. This is all like flowery garbage. This is literally word salad.
Then there's parallels with early photography that I'm not even going to get into, where they claim that photography caused people to go, oh no, now the real artists aren't going to be able to take photos because everybody could take photos.
Because, you know, and that's the crazy thing. Like when photography came out, one, it was really long, arduous process.
Sure.
That all could just be completely screwed.
All that tells me is, yes, a bunch of dumb shits can make shitty photos now, while professional photographers can still take beautiful, excellent, gorgeous photos. You can now make shitty, crappy, bullshit AI images for your cards, while the real people that know what they're doing will continue to make good art and good card games.
I was literally a photographer in the Army. Yes. Guess what? The advent of cell phones existing where everybody has a phone in their pocket, because everybody has a phone, even in the military. Guess what? You still need those photographers.
Yeah, does not eliminate the need for professional photographers. I still pay people to take photos of my family multiple times.
And they cannot argue the other way. Well, it's not going to take away jobs from artists, when it literally has. Because most of the people who commission are unimaginative.
Yeah, absolutely.
They need the artist to fix it.
Right. They compare it to using robotics in surgery, which, I'm sorry, you're not saving lives.
You're not doing that either.
You fucking dumb cunts. You're not saving lives. And then the worst part of this whole article to me is the end, where they say, there's a common misconception that AI learning from existing art styles is akin to art theft. Okay. This is simply not true. Like a student learning to paint by studying the masters, analyzes pattern techniques to create something unique. This is not... Okay, so... I also have had this argument come up in my head.
I hate this argument.
Well, but there's a difference between a person taking styles and interpreting them into their own artistic style and having a computer that can literally take everything in creation and learn from it and then not create something new, but spit it back out.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, they're equating someone, an artist, who has feelings, who needs to eat, who needs to breathe, who needs to shit, who has to spend their time, and I don't mean like just loading. I mean like
learning
months and months, learning, messing up, doing it right. Like, you're trying to give them an emotional argument to something that doesn't have emotion. I'm sorry. No matter how much you say that how cute the teddy bear is, I'm not going to choose the teddy bear over the baby. Because the baby needs help.
That's a really good comparison.
The teddy bear
does
not need help.
Very good comparison. And then the other part I really hate, where they talk about the extensive human touch, where it's more than just generating images through AI. They have to fit in our taxonomy again, which we talked about, just means they have prompts and they have an editor. Even an editor.
Keep going.
They don't even really talk about, they don't talk about somebody taking the original artwork and an actual artist
and making it using that as an idea and then going, okay, we want to keep these elements and then they make their own thing.
The prompt artist. Prompt artist.
Which they use the term prompt artist.
Must provide extensive direction across numerous revisions. So
they change the tags.
They're just changing the text. They're changing. Like, well, you actually, know, I want her boobies instead.
Bigger. Make her bigger boobies.
Make her big. B I g g e r b o o b i e.
Did you write booger boobies?
And then go on to say, but you know, we actually have somebody has to actually put the icons and the stuff on the cards.
Yeah, the template they do with all cards.
So that job still exists, but you got rid of all the other shit that goes with it. But there's a human touch, and then they point up that AA may want to sit one day assisted doing those things for them.
Yeah.
So they're even like not even just being open about it. They're like, yeah, one day maybe we can use AI to do that shit too. Fucking yeah, AI. Unbelievable.
But when they said that, it was just like, okay, so you literally are saying, well, one, you have somebody editing. But here's the thing with AI, and this is again, I edit AI art just to see if I can do it. I do it for my D&D characters because I don't want to draw my D&D characters.
Yeah, but you're literally editing. You're literally going
in. But I'm using it for
in.
Myself. And even with our thumbnails, I go, okay, this person has like 12 fingers. I don't want that. Or, right. You know, that their eyes don't look right. So I'm going to redraw that. And I'm going to do these things for something I'm not getting paid to do because I'm not a prompt artist. I'm just, one, if I understand how to do it and what's being done, then I can point it out very easily. Mind you, I'm, again, not against AI art, but I'm against this bullcrap way of using it. And so I'm like, so the picture I tore apart, you mean to tell me that somebody painstakingly made multiple prompts of that garbage picture over and over and then went in and fixed and made sure that it made sense and it worked? Because I'm quite sure they made like 12 prompts. They got a little bit of feedback, wrote, changed some wording, did it again, said, oh, this one looks nice, and put a template over it and said, I'm an artist. This is what I made. They didn't go in. They didn't edit anything. They didn't recolor anything. They might have blurred one or two things that didn't look right, but they didn't make sure that there was consistency in the picture. So there's no real work put in beyond going bleep, bloop, send. Yeah, that's all they did.
All right, guys, you know what? We just decided midstream here that we're changing our topic to be this. So here's the start.
It's time to begin the complaining.
So we just decided mid-episode that we're changing our topic to prompt artists because this is just so infuriating that this is a thing and that this is a phrase, all right? But yeah, reading through this letter, trying to justify what they're doing, I want to play devil's advocate for a second. Do you think there are people that could have the potential to? No, I can't even do it. There are people that could do a great job creating a card game, but don't have the necessary art skills. But hire somebody.
Okay, I want to make a board game. I want to.
Right.
I'm probably We've never talked going about to, this. But I want to. So I use AI to say, okay, this is for locations, and I use them for literally preliminary, just like an artist would draw a stick figure on a. a board game creator who has no art skills draws a stick figure on a card on like a piece of cardboard.
Right.
And like this is represents this. The AI could be used for that for proof of concept.
Well,
I believe it could be used just like it could be used as references for other like people using other people's art for references. I feel like it's great for referencing.
Yeah, well that's fine. And I don't even think what you're talking about is. If you are going to create a board game and you're using AI to help you figure out the best way to plan your game out, and you're using AI as a tool, you're using it as a tool, you're not using it as a crutch to completely do the whole thing for you. You're not using AI to create step-by-step saying, AI, create a game for me. Okay, thanks, I've got that part. All right, create this part for me. All right, it created that part. You're taking AI and you're using it as a tool to help you come up with ideas. I liken that to using a calculator to do math. You're not even talking about using AI to create the whole game. You're using it as a tool to help you figure things out.
Yes, absolutely.
That's much, much different than just saying, create a game that does this. Okay, for this section, create this section. All right, create that section. You're using like, okay, if I have this happen, what's the best way to resolve that here? That's a tool. That's using it as a tool. That's not fucking using it as anything else. That's the way it should be used.
Absolutely.
And I think will be used.
I'm also find myself very partial to like people who do coding using AI to help them code things. Like, because coding is super boring.
Look,
unless you're super interested in it.
Here's how I use AI.
I find it boring.
Well, here's how I use it to do coding. I use AI to do coding where once code is written, if there is a glitch, the AI, I can say to the AI, here's this block of code. It's doing this. Why? And the AI can attempt to fix it for me. And a lot of times it's successful. That is cutting down on QC, whatever you want to call it, and bug squashing time so that things can move more smoothly. That's a whole different thing. That is using it as a tool to correct. Mm-hmm. And I don't even necessarily have a problem with people using it to create some short code snippets. Because in that, it's still being used as a tool. It's not good enough yet to necessarily do it all by itself. But you can ask it to create some code for you and then have a base to start with and then tweak it from there. Kind of like
you're
talking about the way you do the thumbnails. It's creating a base. And then you are using Photoshop or whatever photo editing tool you're using to go in and make changes and make different updates to it. You're not just create and done.
Again, it's very easy to become extremely lazy and just do that. The thing is, it's so hard to edit AI because there's so much wrong that you don't pick up on as you continue to like do it.
The picture you can spend days
looking at it.
Well, the picture you sent me, here goes the dog. Just looking at it for a split second, you don't see anything wrong. But when you say, hey, there's AI things wrong with it, then I can go through and I'm like, oh yeah, that doesn't make sense. Oh, that doesn't make sense.
Shoulders don't work like that. Or why would there be two left hands? I didn't even realize that was a left hand. Like it does that. And for somebody to brazenly go, oh, there's not this. And you know what? And with Wonders of the First, and I'm going to just keep saying their name to just call them out of their face. It drives me nuts that they are so willing to accept the credit for the art as if it is something they actually did. Now, there's a sleazy thing on Instagram with AI where people have it'll be a picture of Batman and then you go in and it's literally just a plethora of like AI generated art that they're taking credit. A plethora, like a lot.
Plethora.
I say plethora, but yeah, maybe
plethora.
It's plethora.
It's probably tomato. Nobody uses that word regularly. Sorry.
But overall, is they're taking credit. Like people go, great art, my brother. Thank you. I just worked really hard on it. It's like, no, you didn't.
I went on their Twitter and I looked on the Instagram and there were a number of comments that were just like, hey, really nice job. It's like, no, don't take credit for that. You didn't do anything.
And you're just taking credit when the response should be, oh, that's a pretty cool idea. Because that's all you're doing is coming up with an idea. And then seeing if the AI understands what you're trying to go for. Might be a cool idea.
Be humble enough and have the
and go, you know, it's AI. I used
AI, but thank you.
I feel so like icky.
It makes you put your skin
at the
crawl.
Same time, you grow up and go, you know what? But it's true. I didn't really do this thing. I just came up with the idea. So yeah, it's an idea. I wish I was able to do it myself, but you know what? I had to do it in AI and be real about it. But the way that Wonders of the First is being real about it is just so pansy. And I don't mean like, it's just like they saw use flowery like wording, just like, well, you know, we use the few, we're just embracing the future with the beautiful like art prompts, prompt artists as they go forward
it's so much bullshit. It's such a load of bullshit.
And the guy who's the lead of it when he does the videos, his smile is punchable. And I'm not saying I want to punch him. I'm just saying, like, you know, people have punchable faces. It's just like a thing you viscerally feel a certain way. He doesn't have that. But when he speaks as smugly as he does as if he's sincere about some stuff. Not to mention, I found out when during my research that this used to be an NFT project.
Oh, that makes so much more sense now.
It makes way more sense. He's an NFT bro, which makes him even worse to me.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to create a business and try to start an enterprise around something like this, goddamn, at least have the presence of mind to hire a digital artist to touch the cards up and fix things and at least take those initial images and
artist.
Yeah, make them look a little better and fix the issues. It's, instead of being like, we use multiple pro, like, it's hard work to have to type in, like you said, make her boobie bigger.
Yeah, like, so you need to say, you have like four, they were like, we have 4,400 different cards of this, blah, 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 blah. I went, so you spent a whole weekend just typing shit up.
I mean, like, literally with Midjourney now, you can just refer back to the original photo and just have it make small, like, be like, she's got four fingers on one hand, but give her a thumb and like have it edit stuff that way and have it take the character, take this character and put her on a horse or whatever you want.
I've only used Midjourney like a little bit and it was all right. It looked great. I made a beholder look like a Muppet, which was kind of cool.
Yeah. I remember you showing me that.
After that, I was just like, I don't understand how this works.
Midjourney to me seems to be the best. This is recent stuff. Like, it was only maybe a month or month and a half ago they rolled that out.
Yeah.
Where you could really literally refer to an existing piece you did and say, hey, I want it to be the same character, put her on a horse, or she should be fighting this character from this image. You know, you could to be able to have that level of ownership over what you were trying to do. And, you know, Stable Diffusion is pretty good as well, but I haven't explored that as much. But it's giving people the opportunity to be a prompt artist and go in and just – but to act like that's hard work, to just type – like you're essentially – it's essentially like having a computer to create what your mind says. You just have to put the words into the keyboard first.
Yeah.
It's literally like just
– it feels great.
Using your imagination. It's cool. Yeah, it's awesome.
It feels great to be able to have this idea and then just have some computer make it. That is so cool. But be for real. Don't try to get some kind of – I don't want to use the word clout, but that's the only one I'm going to come up with.
Yeah, clout, money.
Don't try to get paid. You know what? I don't even care. You know what? Try to get paid. Go ahead. It's slimy, but there's a billion slimy businesses out here. But you know what? Be honest about it. So the people who are willing to pay you.
That's true.
And mind you,
know the difference. The libertarian in me says yes.
Promotional stuff. Yes. They don't do it in their promotional stuff. They don't say that in the promotional stuff. They say that in their blog that nobody reads. I'm sorry.
Of course
not. The fact
not.
That you have Nobody, to say nobody's that constantly, that. Nobody's reading your blog. Two, you aren't just saying that we use AI. If you just plainly said, yeah, we use AI for our art, that's it. No, you have to justify it.
Yeah, that's the constantly. Worst part. That whole
And you
article,
can say, well, because there's a stigma against it. But you're lying on top of your justification.
Well, but there's a stigma against it for a reason.
It doesn't study. It uses search engines.
Yeah, I mean, that's like me going to buy a car with money I stole from the bank and just whopping down that bag and being like, here's the money for the car. Like, yeah, I didn't get it honestly, though. So I'm not giving the full story to the person I'm purchasing from. I'm not giving them the option to not use stolen money to give me a car, you know? Like...
Yeah, there's really so many degrees of separation between the argument of, well, you know, books, people treated TV like people treated books back then, and this argument about technology goes forward and, you know, using AI for that. It's like, yeah, but you're using it to ingratiate, to make yourself better and not in like an actual meaningful way. You want to make money off of this card game. Maybe it's because of my anger at how they handled this that I haven't looked into what this game is, because it just looks like a hodgepodge of every other tabletop card game I've ever played and seen.
It
doesn't
look
like anything
deep.
New. It's just, it's like Magic the Gathering with gems added to it.
Yeah.
Yep. Like, that's nothing. I came up with a game with my friends where I mixed D&D with Magic the Gathering cards for a single campaign. And if I tried to make a game out of that, I'd just be stealing the two ideas that I slapped together. That's yes, what you would. Their whole idea literally makes way more sense when you say it was an NFT project.
I think they're going the wrong way too. I think
absolutely.
I think if you're doing this, then you just be open about it and say the first card game, you know, created using AI, and just be open and honest about it and see if it works. If it works, fine. Yep. If it doesn't work, well, then you got what you deserved.
I've seen plenty of comments.
At least you're honest about it.
I've seen plenty of comments of people generally saying, you know, if they just said they were AI cards from the beginning, I wouldn't have that much of a problem because I've seen it for other games that use AI.
It's the doubling down, man.
It's like, I wouldn't have that much of a problem if they just said it, but since they didn't, and I'm just finding out like through the grapevine, I feel gross.
Yeah, no, I get it. And again,
they can say they were open and honest about it all they want, but they hid it behind a wall that most people aren't going to look at.
Well, and they still are.
They're only interested. And mind you, not only that, they're making limited prints of a lot of these cards. So, like, you put no work in, you make a limited print to try to make it rare?
Have fake value. Well, I mean, if there were NFT bros ahead of time, like, it goes along.
So, you're still doing the NFT model?
Yeah.
Why? Like, it failed. And not to mention, are you the team that got in trouble with Magic the Gathering for using AI cards? Are you those guys? Is that who you are? Because if you are... That makes more sense. Not saying that it is, because I don't know how petty you are saying, well, we're going to sue you for defamation or whatever. We're literally saying what you said and what our opinions are to this, if you ever listen to this. And overall, you come off as smug. You come off as disingenuous. Super disingenuous. And you need to not take credit for things you didn't do. You didn't make that at all.
No.
Nope. You came up with an idea, and the idea isn't all that interesting.
Yeah, and I think it's a money grab. It's an attempt at a money grab, and that's I could be wrong, but it just seems to be all there is to it.
Talking about the lead guy, I was going to say he looks like a crypto bro. And what I mean is guy around our age, you know, pudgy belly.
I saw the picture.
Glasses and a hat.
Yeah.
A graphic tee and a hat with a logo on it. They all dress like that.
Yeah, they're just one of the regular folks out there. They're just like us.
Absolutely looks like a crypto bro. And our modern day, like, visor cap, frosted tip guy is that guy.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I don't
pop
know
what collar, else. Pop polo.
I don't know what else there is to say about that other than, like, Jesus, dude. Just. You went the wrong direction. You should have just leaned into it hard and said, this is what we're doing.
Then I wouldn't be mad about prompt artist.
Yeah.
About being used, because you're literally using it. I mean,
that's your hook.
But the fact that you're acting the way you are about it, I know you mean it in, like, literally, well, they're artists too, which leads me into the Instagram people that I was going to bring up before, where just like people are like congratulating them for their art.
Yeah.
As if like they did something and they're taking all this credit and just sucking themselves off.
I know. And one person says something and they argue so hard. Well, we've sent
each
other pictures and stuff that we've generated via AI, and it's literally in the all we have is the all of the computer that generated it. Not like I don't send you something and you're not like, wow, Matt, that's so awesome. You're so good at generating
prompts.
You're
good at this. Like,
you're just amazed by the fact that the computer was able to do it. You're not amazed by what I did. You're amazed by what the computer did.
And it's literally, and this is what really gets me, is it's almost as if you're praising the internet avatar over the person.
That's exactly what it is. It's like you're praising an avatar.
And that's scary. That avatar, like, you know, we used to go, well, junkie. You're hiding behind your avatar, but now, yeah, you're hiding behind your avatar, but now it's more so not just you're hiding behind your avatar, you are literally living vicariously through this avatar as if it is a person.
That's what
and
it
that's
is.
It's not good.
It's kind of like the professional esports players, like the professional NHL video game players. It's like, you're not actually a good hockey player.
You know
you're just
no You know what? I wouldn't say that because at the very least, they know how to, they learned how to play a game. It's just like watching somebody play chess. I will not.
That's true. There's a little, there's a completely different level of honesty there. That's for sure. No,
I would do it as if some, if like people were professionally playing Call of Duty, right?
Yeah.
But they were allowed to use aim assist. Aim assist on 100%. And so the computer is basically playing itself. And man, you're so good at your, you're just so good at this game. You're just getting all these headshots. You're not even trying. Just because literally he's not trying.
That's but a much better
that's
comparison.
That's what it feels you're like right, to me.
I got you halfway there.
Now please stay on your feet.
I got you halfway but, there. I didn't get you the whole way there.
Because I'll praise somebody who plays chess really well. I think
well that's like, different.
You
that's
show
a game.
Brain skills, reaction time. Even people who play esports, but
that's true. You're right.
Bring me back to my beautiful log cows, Cyrax.
No,
nothing new he did. Nothing new he did.
It's like there's new Cyrax info.
He likes to call himself the Drift King because I guess he plays Need for Speed Underground or something. Or it's Forza. It was a Forza game, I think.
He's and drifted in a video game. He's a drifter.
And he calls himself a professional esports racer. He has like a seat with a harness on it, and he pretends to drive. And he acts as if he's really driving.
That's something.
Like he truly acts like he's really driving, and he tries to relate to actual drivers.
That's something else.
And he's like, nobody street races as good as me. You'll never street race it. Like he's ridiculous. And he lost a race to Marty. Who he convinced to get an Xbox to play him or some game system to play him.
Yeah.
And you find out that Cyrax is using drive assist the entire time. So it keeps you from driving off the road.
Yeah.
And the way they found out was that he was like this. He was driving, but he kept looking over, not looking at the screen at all during turns, which no one can do.
You know, it's funny. This could segue nicely into what was going to be our topic.
It could have.
It'll be our topic for next week. But
overall, he took full credit as if he was a good driver.
Right.
Even though the driver, like, there's there's literally an option where the computer drives for you. Like, it's for little kids. It's really for little kids.
You're right. I'm glad I got us here. I did it. It's all me. It's not you. You're right. That's the perfect comparison. That's the exact same thing. I mean, when you boil it down to its base, to its core, it's the same thing. It's no different than me typing in a bunch of prompts and being like, I'm a great artist.
Just came up with an idea. You could say, I had a really good idea. Look what the computer did. Just freaking do that. Because guess what? After breaking my hand, I don't think I'm that great of an artist anymore. I get very frustrated, very discouraged. And sometimes I use AI so I can get an idea of what I want to physically draw.
But I think that's fine. That's okay. There's nothing wrong with that.
I personally think that's how it should be drawn. Somebody might argue that with me, and if they have a good point, I might concede. But overall, that's how I feel about it.
If you do have good, if you feel differently, then email us. We'd be happy to go over your point and be corrected on this if we're wrong. But we're not wrong about the prompt artists.
I think it's garbage.
Yeah, it's total
garbage.
I think
that's a garbage term in the context in which it was used.
It's just, it's like, I'm trying to think of, I guess you're right. It's like, you know, saying you're a professional Call of Duty player when you have aim assist, but I'm trying to think, I wish there was a vocabulary equivalent that I could use.
There might be some old Latin word for somebody who does that we don't know.
The Germans probably have a word for it.
Because for me, like, the only other equivalent I can give it is like somebody's favorite sports team wins and they go, we won! We did it! We worked so hard! And like, we did it! Like,
hey, watch it. We're the sixth man on the ice, okay?
You see, like you put none of the work in.
No, but...
But at least you pay tickets to go see the game.
That's what I was going to say. Listen, when it's a home game, depending on the sport, like in hockey, it makes a difference having your fans there and having them be loud and making a lot of, in football too, having the home team making a ton of noise and the other team can't hear what they're saying, can't pay attention. And you're out there booing and hissing and chanting. Like I said, my all time favorite is when I went to a Rangers Devils game and the crowd was chanting so loud at Martin Brodeur, Uncle Daddy, that he just fucked up because they call him Uncle Daddy because he married his wife's sister.
Uncle Daddy.
He married his wife's sister.
So awful.
It's so funny. Uncle Daddy. It's so good. It's such a good
Uncle
chant.
Uncle Daddy.
Uncle Daddy. Daddy. But that, like, even that I get, maybe it's because I do it. And, you know, when the Rangers win the Stanley Cup this year, I'm going to say we won. But even that, I give a little credit because the fans are part of the team. The team wouldn't exist without the fans. And they do pose a credible threat when you're in another team stadium. You know, it can contribute to the outcome of the game. When you're a prompt artist, you're not contributing anything. You're just not.
As you were talking, I was looking at the last few sentences of the article because, like,
there was a line. And gave up on it. I'm sorry.
There was a line that got to me. And okay. I'm just going to read it real quick because I just can't separate it from my brain.
Okay.
Once the base character concept is finalized, bringing that character into a card involves additional layers of design, like we said, and creativity. Every element on the card, from icons and borders, which they look terrible. They don't look terrible. They look generic. They don't look
template.
Terrible.
Just a template that's overlaid.
To text placements. Text. So, yeah, because I don't think AI is not smart enough to write text that makes sense. And sterilization requires precise human design skills that are currently beyond AI's capabilities.
Gonna stop you right there. I could fucking do that shit. I would not call myself a graphic designer.
Yeah.
I could lay the icons and the border and the text on the card with no problem. It would take me 5 minutes. I would never, ever try to say that couldn't be done without the precise human work that I'd
They're essentially just saying that, you know, we do still need to, like, make the cards, so they're still physical. It's like, okay, first of all, just putting this out there, you're still getting rid of a job without creating one.
Right.
But you at one point during the development of this game was just going to make it all digital. So let's not talk about, like, foiling and other special printing techniques, because you were just going to make it digital. It would have been PDFs or PNGs or whatever.
There's the NFT in them, yeah.
So let's not even go there. But with the statement, involves additional layers of design and creativity. Every element of the card, from icons and borders to text placement and sterilization, requires precise human design skills that are currently beyond AI's capabilities. So if it wasn't beyond AI's capabilities, the human element would have been gone. That's exactly what you would have done.
That's what I said before. They basically said...
I didn't notice you said that.
They basically said if the AI did exist, they'd use it. They're just saying, we can't right now. That's all they're saying.
You're literally saying that. But the fact that they're using, like, all... They blind you with all this nonsense. The history of... I don't need a history... Like a false like a, history.
The history of photography shit was the best. Like,
A photographer literally goes on location to do things. They don't just like think of a picture and the picture pop up. That is not like how that works.
No.
So they create a whole bunch of false equivalencies. And the thing is, I feel like this is a perfect microcosm of the justifications that prompt artists make.
Yeah.
Without and then they don't listen to any kind of dissenting argument, because this article was made after the person right before that person commented.
Right,
they answered a bunch of other comments, did not even touch that one, and it was a simple question.
It's a very simple question.
I feel bad that I've been commenting. I commented on a few other things. I don't want to galvanize people to harass them. That's not what I want to do. I want to call out
just me.
Why you?
Because it's fun.
But regardless, I just feel that they like you said, they should have just leaned in and not been slimy. Because unfortunately, like, all this cotton candy has gotten wet and it's just sticking to everything at this point. Because all that wording that they're using, because they just make it worse. And I really want to essentially shame or slap the people who are just feeding into it. From one artist to another, you are such a great artist. And what's more upsetting about that person, the person that said from one artist to another,
they're probably also artists.
They're not. That person is not. I went to their page. They draw I'm not going to shit on anybody's like artistic ability.
Yeah.
I just feel like they might have a disability.
Come on, where man. They
think. Oh, sorry. I'm being a jerk. I am being an absolute jerk about this. I just feel like they're dumb.
They're dumb. Okay. That's fine.
I feel like they're dumb. I should have said an inability. Because you had to, one, call yourself out as an artist, unless you're being sarcastic, which I am sorely hoping you are, because you draw on it's paper. Possible. You draw with ink, which is brave for artists. I don't care, because a lot of people don't like to make mistakes. If you make a mistake, you have to learn to fix it.
Right.
Like, with ink. I think that is very brave to be an artist like that, but to praise that nonsense is just, you know what? I'm speaking out of hurt. I'm very hurt and upset.
You're not going to be praising it when you're living in a box somewhere.
Right? I'm just really hurt by it. I know plenty of street artists that are phenomenal. The guy who had the art show that I went to.
Yep.
Him, the people he collects.
His work is great.
They are creative people out there struggling to get their foot into something. Working hard, being shit on, and still having to like get up, clean themselves off, and go back out there.
And now they got this to compete with.
And they have to compete with this. And they're trying to make an emotional argument to me when I can just side with the people who actually have emotions. You're just right. Trying to make money.
Yeah.
And you're defending a machine who doesn't care either way.
Well, they're not defending the machine. They're defending themselves for using the machine.
It really is. They are. Absolutely. Yeah. But everybody hates the machine. I don't like the AI hate, because I think a lot of it's hyperbolic. Not that what it's being used for, but yeah. I understand why that hate should exist, because otherwise people like this exist.
Well, this is another
example. They're going to try to get a leg up on it.
This is another example of, like I complain about all the time, somebody doing something really stupid and dumb shit that makes everybody else that uses AI look bad.
Yeah.
So now, anybody that uses AI
looks like a bad guy.
Legitimately, instantly. Ethically, looks like a bad guy because this one group that's using it in not so great a way and shitting on artists by doing so. Yeah. Is what it is. Yeah, that's...
So, I'm just going to say before you close out, if we ever somehow make money off of the show, which, you know, we don't, but we got to hire an artist.
Yeah. Well, yeah, obviously. I mean, like I
no,
said.
No, no, no. Because I even thought it was like, if that has to continue like that, I'll leave the show if I have to. But I don't think you're that type of guy.
So. Oh, no, not at all. No, that would never be an issue with us. But we talked about, we'll get into it next episode. We talked about, and we'll get into this next episode, using AI to create music. And we had a conversation about whether or not we thought that was okay to use jingles. And you said no, and I was like, yeah, I'm with you on that. I think I agree with you. And you were like, okay, good. I wasn't sure. But because to me, I've already paid two musicians to create jingles for us that I know, and mm-hmm. they did a great job.
Yeah, he paid right out of pocket.
Right.
Wasn't expecting it. Like,
So that's something that I'm willing to pay for. So yeah, I'm not going to use AI to do that. It's just not fair.
Absolutely.
All right, guys. Yeah. Thanks for listening to the show. Oh, I see your child's arm.
Yeah, she's trying her best to put herself into the camera.
Don't do that, because then I got to blur stuff.
Yeah, he has to blur you out. Can
guys,
you two please?
Thank you for listening to the podcast. I just want to say that we're going to have a very special guest on our next episode.
Oh my gosh, next episode? We're at episode 49?
Yeah, this is 49. We're going to next episode. For episode 50 next week, we're going to have... I'm going to just say it. So we're going to have a very special guest on our next episode, Mr. Paul Mattingly of Ice Cream Social. I cannot wait. I think we have our topic from this week. We're going to discuss with him next week because I think it'll be a good topic for him. But thanks for listening. If you guys have any questions for Paul and our topic next week, we're going to talk. I might as well just say what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about video blamers. So you want to just quickly just recap what that is?
Oh, everybody that blames anything wrong with the youth of the day on video games.
Yeah, so we're going to talk
and
about
media,
that.
Well, video media.
If you have any questions, comments on that, or anything you want to talk to Paul to complain about, or anything you want to ask Paul about that in regards to things that drive you nuts, email us podcast@atiwihy.com. Or, of course, you can go to the website.
atiwihy.com.
And that's it, guys. Dang. Thanks for listening. We will talk to you soon.
I don't think.
For our 50th episode. Look at 50 episodes. It's a lot.
I mean, I don't know what's wrong with us. It's like we have a show or something.
I know.
Stop.
Peace.
Later.